Tommy Thompson from Alaska.
Well-known passages, John chapter 1 and verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The next portion would be in 2 Corinthians and chapter 3. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Then let's look for a last reading in Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now they're just simple thoughts, and I won't take a lot of time, but they're simple thoughts that I have been thinking about during the conference. We have heard much about the cross. We have heard about Christ's likeness. I don't think we have heard a lot about the race of faith. But if I don't finish, I'm going to tell you what is on my heart. Because in John 1 and 29, you have the secret of a saved life. And that is something that you and I should thank the Lord for. You'll notice that it's the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we have there the secret of Christ likeness. I don't need to expound these. You could look at them and ponder them and meditate upon them, and I know the Lord will bless what we have read together in his whole own precious word. In Hebrews chapter 12, you find there we have the secret of a steady race. And in these three portions, because I believe that it's very important, things that have transpired in one's own life, that here in John 1:29, we find the Lamb of God and the sin of the world. Now, I know there are young people here, and I'm not going to try and bring you into my days, for David could only serve his own generation by the will of the Lord. And so the generations change. And of course we change with the generations. But here's something that will never ever change. And that is the truth and principles of God's precious word. I know that you who are younger, you live in a world that I didn't live in when I was younger. But that is not what we're going to contrast tonight. I would like you to realize that as the Lamb of God, we sometimes sing to slaughter led. And the Lamb of God takes us to the cross of Christ. And the Apostle Paul, in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14, he says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. So irrespective of the generations that we live in, the world exposes itself more today than ever before. But nevertheless, what is the world? For each of you who are saved, or if you're not saved, remember this verse can bring you into the joy of salvation. It's about 60 years just across this entry here where I took my dear wife and I told her I just got saved tonight. And the same place last night I said to Marjorie, I said, you see that place down there? Well, I says, that's where I go every morning as we have our devotions. And I would suggest that one of the wonderful things about God's salvation and about being occupied with the Lord Jesus as the one who died on Calvary's cross, occupation with Christ, and these three portions are all associated with the Lord Jesus Christ. Occupy with the Lord Jesus. Oh, you say, well, I work. Well, we all work too. But there are times when you find that after, at least I'm going to speak a little bit about what I had experienced. I worked in the shipyard. And of course, I was just as bad as the other ones. But when God saved me, I was so glad to be saved that the next morning, and you know what, I don't really ever know what they're like. Some good men, but you know there's some very cruel men. And I was able to say that I was saved. Now one of the things you find is that the Lamb of God is associated with the world. There are some of you who are young, others who know this. But you have three enemies. You have the one that is within. And that is God has condemned, not the flesh. God has condemned sin in the flesh. And if you want to see that in experience of the apostle and others, read Romans chapter 7. And Paul found that inside there was no good thing. Now that's very important to realize, that the world is a world that inside me I have something that responds to the world. And especially if we have been associated with the things of the world. But I go to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. And this is what I find. Paul says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ is where you need to go. And that's why I believe it's important to remember the Lord on the first day of the week. Because it takes us there to the one that loved us and the one who paid the price to take away our sin. But if you go to the cross, whether it's in 19 or 2007, you go to the cross and that'll tell you what the world is. Just read upon it. And what do you find? Written there is Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Now those are three things that represent the world. The Lord took them and they said, away with him. We will not have this man to rule over us. So the secret of your life being preserved in a world that is getting more perverse as the days go by, it's simply exposing itself more and more. The Word of God tells me this, that the world was represented there. It was in the religious language, Hebrew. It was in the Greek language, and that would be social things. And it was also in Latin, and that was the political powers. It's still the same. There are those, and they have taken, in opposition to the cross of Christ, taken up with the politics of this world. Well, you know, when you work as an apprentice in the shipyard, and you hear a lot of these men who went in and through the Depression, I personally became very socialistic. This was before I was saved. And I happened to be one of the leaders of a strike. It took about 2,000 apprentices out on strike to support the journeyman. There's a man, some of you may remember him, Harry Midgley. And he came, and he was inciting us as to oppose the authorities and so forth. I became the vice chairman or something, they made me, of the Northern Ireland Labour Party. And one morning I opened the newspaper, and there I saw Harry Midgley, the man who was the political leader of the Northern Ireland Labour Party, and he had joined the Tories. He had been made Minister of Education. I wasn't saved. But that finished me with the politics of this world. What they want is power and position and prominence. And I thank God for that, because that was one thing. Before I was saved, God showed me what the world was. You find there's the religious world. And you come across that, especially when you get away into places. I've spoken to men in Alaska. One was the head of a church. He said to me, "What do you believe?" And I told him I believe in the verbal inspiration of Scripture, the virgin birth of Christ, the vicarious death of the Lord Jesus, victorious resurrection, and the visible return. I said, "The blood of you." He said, "Blood of Christ," he says. "What's that?" He said, "We preach the love of God." And you're going to find that religions, and don't be caught up with them. You find that the Apostle Paul in Galatians 1, he speaks about the only religion in the world that God has raised, and that was the Jewish religion. And there's no such a thing as religion. What you get when God saved you is salvation in all its fullness. And one of the things you need to learn, young people, if you're just saved, is to go to the place and see the Lamb of God. And it says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of this world." And we thank God for that. And if you can just get that and keep the cross ever before you. And I thank God. I don't boast in it. But I thank God that I was saved by God's grace. And I seek to remember it and go to the cross every morning and thank the Lord Jesus that he has enabled me. As I look at Calvary, as I look at the Lamb of God, he has given me a life that has been saved from this world. And may God help you. We're not trying to make you old or aged, but the principles of God never, ever change. And consequently, it'll be a wonderful thing when you do this and you're able to set aside the world. I went out to Africa on a ship. I was just saved. I didn't know too much. I thought, now it's Sunday, you're a Christian, you should go to church. And the man that was up there was taking the place of the Queen. I saw him during the week, and there he was, a man taking up a religious position when he was living so different during the week. You know what it made me do? There's a couple of dear old Scotchmen. They've always been a real help to me. And they belong to the Free Presbyterians. And I went up to one of them. He had a collar. Cheeky. Said, I don't believe in that. But I said, you know, you could use it and get us a place to have meetings. We had about 12 days of gospel meetings on the top deck. You know, that was the greatest trip I've ever had. Because God showed me, right before my eyes, what he had saved me out of. And I thank God I have never gone back into the world. The next portion is, we have heard our brethren, I have noticed it a few times, that they've said Christ-likeness. Now here you find in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I'm not going to expound this, but it's a wonderful chapter about the veil, which is a law, and it was put upon Moses. And you find it was put there for a purpose, so they wouldn't see the passing glory that Moses had. But let us read here in verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding, as in a glass or mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Verse 6 of the ninth chapter, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Here you find the secret of Christ-likeness. Occupy yourself with the Lord in relation to the world. And whatever you do, you find our brethren with speaking about this, you can use the world but not abuse it. But here you find something that each of us, I want you to notice it says, but we all. It's comprehensive. It's not just for the preachers on the platform. It's not just for the Sunday school teacher. It's for all of us. This is something that God himself has recorded and inspired for you and I to become more Christ-like. And brethren, you know, sometimes you just wonder when people look at us what they think of our features. I just heard about a man who's going on, I'm not going to mention the denomination, but he lives nearby. And when something happened, some people are cleaning the roof, and he went ballistic to the people next door, and the people behold that. Then he had to go and apologize. That's not Christ-likeness. What is Christ-likeness? Didn't we learn this when God saved us? Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye labor is heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do you remember that? Do you remember the first night you put your head on the bed? I remember it. That I was at peace with God. I had rest. My sins were forgiven. But the next verse, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. And he says, and ye shall find rest unto your life. I want to ask you, do you know rest in your life? Or are you easily agitated? You know, there's nobody that can give quick ones take the people for Ulster. And I can do that too. But the Lord Jesus Christ, you find Peter tells, we heard about Peter. He has left us an example that we should follow his steps. And you know how important that is. When we were at school, do you remember the beautiful writing underneath that paper? And you followed the example? That should you have. And what is the example? When he was reviled, he reviled not again, but committed himself to God. And that's what you need to do. There are times when you find, yes, there's agitation in one thing and another. But you know, you can always send a little word to the Lord. You ask me, Lord, save me. You know, sometimes when you're away on your own, as some of us have been, I got given to me by my father, Young's Critical Comments. And therefore, when I would study God's Word, I had to take it and, as simply as possible, teach the Indian people the gospel and the various things associated with it. But in Philippians chapter 4, not sure the verse, maybe about verse 6, it says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Now, when I was young, can't blame me, I thought that was the Lord was coming. But when I looked at Young's comments, this is what it says. The Lord is at your elbow. Oh, how sweet that has been. Down through the years that I have enjoyed that. And you know, some of you, years ago, when we met our future wife, you remember how you enjoyed her putting her arm through you, and you would go a walk, and you would talk together. That's how near the Lord Jesus Christ is to you. And here you find it's like looking in the mirror. And as a young believer, there were two men. There was Archie Naismith, who spoke at our baptism. Then he gave some beautiful teaching on Romans. And what I did, I took it all down. I didn't know what I was writing. But after years, I looked at it when I matured a little bit, and I found that I understood it. But I looked at that man's face, and I wondered, he has got a shine on his face. There was another little man up in Ballyhackam where he came, Reuben Scammell. Some of you may remember him. And he came in, and I don't know what was wrong with him, but he wasn't just a well man. But it was the same that I had seen in Archie Naismith. That same beauty. And you know, I came to realize this. They had been actually doing this. They had been looking in the mirror. They had been looking in the face of the Lord Jesus. And they were changed from glory to glory. There's the secret of Christ-likeness. The last one that I'm going to speak about is over in Hebrews. And of course, Hebrews is a lovely portion. And you know that in chapter 11, you have God's gallery of heroes of faith. Right from the very beginning of time. Right up until this portion was written. And this is what we read here. The secret of a steady race. And in each one of these, the observation is on the person of Christ. Occupation with Christ, one has said, is the secret of peace within and power without. And here you find what we have. Here the apostle writes this, I suppose he was the apostle who wrote it. have an argument about that. But nevertheless, the Spirit has recorded it. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Now, Brian, I hope that you don't think God allows you to have a pet sin. Do you know what the sin is? The lack of faith. That's what I believe it is. The lack of faith. There's the race of faith brought here. And you find there's something that it tells us here. Every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Now we're going to have to be honest. Everything you do, you and I do, can we bring that before God and leave it, we're here about waiting before the Lord, and see if it is really the Lord's will, what I'm going to do. It takes certainly waiting. But here you find one of the things that seems to be, and I've seen them come up to Alaska and leave there. They were so sure that the Lord had sent them. It wasn't very long before the hardship came, and then you find the Lord changed his mind. No, Brian, that's not it. Romans 14. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And here you find, let us lay aside the weight that doth so easily beset us. And if there's one thing sometimes you find in the race of faith, we need to do what the Word of God says, looking unto Jesus. Yesterday I was looking out the window and there was a lot of people there that take their dogs for a walk, and a woman let the dog off the leash, and that old thing, he went all over, and I thought, boy, he wouldn't be an object of faith because you'd be looking all over the place. And man's not the one that we need to look at. But here you find again the same one, John 1:29, that will give me the joy of having a saved life, saved from the world and all its falsehood, saved from all its religious and its cultural and all the things that it tells you that everybody else is doing it, so it's all right for you. It's not. I arrived in Alaska and I went around giving tracts. I gave one to a man. He said, I don't need that. He says, I am a Christian. I said, you don't smell like one. You don't look like one. And I said, a Christian? I took him to Romans chapter 6. I pointed out yielding as members either to sin or righteousness. So we went down that. He says, nobody ever told me that before. And then as the car was fixed and I drove out, he came running after me. He says, will you do so? He says, nobody ever told me that. He says, but I have learned today. He learned today something that he never was told, because his preacher did the same thing. And as the car got out onto the highway, he just arrived in Alaska, he came running and he had asked me all sorts of questions. What missionary society are you with? A lot of times, no missionary society. Where do you get your support from the Lord? Well, they look at you as if you're crazy. But he must have accepted that. He said, you're going to starve up there. He said, you're depending on the Lord. He says, I paid $4 for a T-bone steak of a toke. And so he came running and he says, would you do something for me? He says, please accept my thanks. And he put a $10 bill into my hand. And I paid $9.50 for the repair. And he gave me $10, so it was in 50 cents. And this is the secret of a straight race. The race of faith. And I command this for you to reread it and realize that you look back, we've been hearing about men I was just telling our dear brother Jim that when I was a wee boy, I was one of these. And I had been at John Hutchison's tent listening. But you know the thing that impressed me? They used to have a big basket with all those sandwiches. And I saw Mr. Hutchison with his coat off, the sleeves rolled up, and there he was into the basket, handing them out. That has left an impression upon me that he was a man, a worker, as well as a preacher. So you find they're told to go back and look at the history. Look at what we get in chapter 11. And when we go back, I thank God for men that have been used by God to help me. And I trust that these few words that I give to you, the secret of a saved life, saved from the world, the secret of Christ-likeness, and the secret of a steady race. And they're all associated with the person of Christ. May the Lord bless his word for his name's sake.